I'm not up at midnight. Before we start, I want to say something to the people that listen. I have something like 85 unanswered emails from people that are listening to the morning Bible study. And I just haven't been able to wrap my mind around answering them. So please be patient. Anyway, 1 Thessalonians. We're on chapter 1, verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak of anything. We talked about what the meaning of sounded is. It's like the word is exact. It's echo. It means like the roar of a sea or the clap of a thunder. And it's a sound that's created when disciples empty themselves. And in that emptying, you alter everything about you and around you. We started to talk about in every place. There's a couple of scriptures that we need to go to. Go to Colossians chapter 1. You have something to say, Gary. You're doing it again.
No, I'm having a
You really were imagining having a heart attack? That's why you have that goofy, look on your face?
Well, I thought, I got a little teeny pain up on my shoulder. I thought, what if there was a little thing that got down into your heart? What would I do? And I thought,
never mind.
I'd get up and run so my heart would work hard.
You know what you're supposed to do?
What?
Cough really, really hard. When you feel like you're having a heart attack.
Forgot.
All right, chapter 1, verse 3, Colossians.
Okay, back to the scriptures.
What?
Back to the scriptures.
We went from heart attack to the scriptures. Imagined heart attack.
That's right.
That's a good way. That just shows you your mind, you know. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Again, the gospel was spread in all the world by the act of Pentecost, or by what God did on Pentecost. And again, go to verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, that is in Christ, should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, that now hath he reconciled. So the gospel has been preached to every creature which is under heaven, and the only enemy in time and space of God is your mind.
By wicked works.
Well, that's all your mind can do, is move towards self-realization or self-improvement or self-betterment or self-learning.
Yeah, the best thought you can come up with is wicked works.
That's right. That's why you can't ever hear this until you've come to the end of all that's in your mind. You shouldn't shut up your mind. You should push it to the ends of time and space itself. That you test all things that your mind has to say to you. That is your board of governors. That is your Jerusalem that now is. And that's why the law is so important, because the law will shut up every one of those voices so that all the world and all the voices become guilty before God. But if you don't, and you just live in the imaginations and the sweet thoughts, then you're deceived. You still think there's something that you can do. All right. That's not what we're going to study. Now he's reconciled in verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now that's pretty big. The only reason that he presents you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight is because when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. And when God looks at Jesus, he sees you. You've been perfected by one offering forever, but your mind cannot accept it. Amen?
I think part of the importance of that is that your mind never will accept it. So you can't say, well, if I just stay around for a while, I'll get it, and then I can.
Yeah. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. That's pretty heavy duty. Just, you should read the rest of it, but go down to verse 28 for a minute. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now either that he has perfected you by one offering, or we have more work to do than you've ever believed. You either accept by faith your perfection and stop the incessant trying and doing, or just continue on in all the doing, but you can't. Don't live in both worlds. All right.
29.
Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. What? Why did you want that?
Well, because it says, it has that aspect. Now, here's what I do: I labor, I strive. So the mind will take that and turn it into a religion.
All right, back to Thessalonians. Verse 9. I'll read verse 8 again. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, which, as you talked about before, that's essentially all of Greece, but also in every place. Your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And again, this is Paul is saying, look, either Paul or Silas or me, we lived with you. The words we spoke were tested by our life. You saw us 24 hours a day. Oh. and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, before, in verse 9, how you turn to God from idols. The word turn there means super or abundant or deep repentance. It means you've turned to God, never again returning to self. Never again leaning on your own arm of understanding. Now, you turned from idols. Now, we don't worship idols. We don't have any little thing. Every idea, every form in your mind that you have of the way things should be or how others should be, every idea, every plan that you have is an idol. And until you see that, you won't hear whatever anything else I say. Because you inherently believe that that's what you're supposed to do. If you go to a business school or if you're a businessman, you will be convinced of it because you have to do these things. It's not just business, it's anything. You have to do these things. And you justify the no faith by saying, this is necessary for me to survive. And it's all of it is a lie. Right, Gary? And to wait, verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Wait is anamino in Greek. Now remember, mino is a Greek word that means to abide. But to abide with faith, not to abide with the mind of a Gentile. Because if the mind of a Gentile will always quit instead of waiting. You will go for a while and then you will say, I really got to take this back and put it in my own hands. I really got to figure this out. Instead of waiting in confidence, in faith. So this word, wait here, anamino, it means to abide with confidence. With surety. Now, we spent many months on the word abide, and just take some time and look how many places in the New Testament abide is used. It is critical to understand that meaning because otherwise you're just hanging out. You're not going to war with the vanity of your own mind. In my Father's house, remember he said, let's go there, John 14. In order to understand this, we have to start it at verse 36 verse of chapter 13. It's so important that you understand that there were no chapters or verses. So the way we normally read the Bible, you read it by verse or by chapter, and so you miss out that it's a complete thought process, not by some fictitious of making chapters and verses. Okay, So Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterward. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times or thrice. Now, then right after that, though, and this is what's never talked about. Right after that, he said, Let not your heart be troubled, even though you're going to do this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know. And the way, you know. Now, in my Father's house are many mansions. The word mansions is amino. It's a place of abiding. It doesn't mean that what you hear these prosperity gospels preachers say, oh, it's this beautiful mansion you're living in. It's amino, the place of abiding. Now, that's why this place of abiding is the body. That's why the scriptures are to a people, not a person. It's the place where you have fallen into the ground and died. That's what abiding means. It's not hopping up and going all over and you. And that's why, and again, at this time, at the time the scriptures were written, the place had to have at least 10, but no more than 20. And that place was your seder, or your place of abiding, or your minyan. And a group of minyans made up a community. And that's why in the Jewish thought, a community had to have at least 120 people in order to be considered a new thing. And that's why God had 120 people on the day of Pentecost in the temple that received the Holy Spirit, because they became then the new community, the new people. But those 120 were made up of 12 groups of 10. They were from all over the, you know, all over the world, because they were there for the Feast of Jubilee to get their lands back. Anybody have any thoughts, questions? Can you get a little deeper meaning of what it means to wait?
The place of abiding, it's there has to be that scenario for the mystery to be worked out. If you keep moving and moving and moving.
Well, the reason for that there has to be, it's because, remember in the Old Testament, in their first years with Adam, they had to live 900 years. In order to see the end, in order to see the vanity of all things. In a community, you don't have to do that, because you, by empathy, can experience, so you don't have to go actually do it, all the things the other people did. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
So you can see by the Seder, by the minyan, by the place of abiding, by the corporate experience, then you can you don't have to go and do and be, because I promise you, in each of those Seder groups, there is enough actual experience to be able to see the vanity of all human effort, the emptiness of all human activity. That's why it's so vital. And that's why you can't, you know, when you belong to a church that has thousands of people, you can hide. You don't have to be vulnerable. You go, you have pews so that the only thing you see is the back of someone's head. And then you have this guy up there at the pulpit. The pulpit is a word meaning stage. And he puts on a play that isn't real. Amen?
Amen. I never heard that, let not your heart be troubled. After you're already told.
I told him to just chew him out. You're going to deny me three times before the cock crows.
But don't worry about it.
But don't worry about it.
That's so cool.
What you just talked about was the door to tabernacles. Like you were telling me the other day, you read Ecclesiastes before you go through because you can't.
You can't. It's not that you shouldn't enter in, or you. There's some human rule that you can't enter in, but you cannot celebrate the eighth day of tabernacles until you have been apprehended by, and you apprehend, the book of Ecclesiastes. That's the few people that you come and have the intimate experience with. Amen? Anybody have any thoughts or questions about all this? This is pretty important stuff.
Did you guys already send the tabernacles memo out?
It's going out today.
Good, because I'm freaking out with all these words. Come on, enter in. What does this mean? I don't understand a word.
Okay. All right, back to Thessalonians. I thought we were going to get to heaven today.
Today?
Well, it says here that we were... And wait for his son from heaven. That's probably a good place to stop. We'll study from heaven tomorrow. What heaven is. Not the comic book theology what heaven is, but what the scriptures say heaven is. Any idols get smashed this morning?
I just think about heaven and what we talked about earlier, what I said about the best thought you can come up with is wicked works. And I'm sitting here trying to imagine heaven as the best thought that you can come up with. And then, of course, that's... Now you said pollution. So I pushed it as far as I could. And I realized that all I come up with is me in heaven, and that's ridiculous. And it's all about how I relate to it.
Before I was a believer, I used to get in these wild discussions with Christians and just persecute the snot out of them. But so we would talk about heaven. You know, heaven is so wonderful. Say, well, what is heaven? What is heaven? And then they'd give me all these great things that they want and like. And I said, well, for me, heaven has got to, I've got to become a Muslim because I get 72 virgins. But, or get, but.
Or are you deceived?
Yeah. Or Billy Graham saying on the Johnny Carson show that. That's what Johnny Carson asked him, what he thought heaven was like. And the first words out of his mouth were, well, I'm sure heaven has a golf course.
Real nice. It does.
Are you excited, Jeff?
That's to look forward to.
Yeah. Get your holy clubs out.
Holy clubs.
But keep the other holy club in the bag.
Only you and me will have a tea.
Take it, big guy, quick.